That brings us to the first chapter of Genesis, right before we get to one of those gardens. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now I invite you, we're going to sing together number 15, which is "All Creatures of Our God and Sing." We're going to, God and King. We're going to sing verses 1 and verse 6. You may be seated. I'm going to invite the kids to join me down front. They can come if they want to come, if they're not afraid of me. Okay, it's Trinity Sunday. Do you see any signs of the Trinity around the sanctuary? Are there any threes anywhere in the building? There's three crosses up there. Granger's trying to give you a hint. On his stole and?
His necklace.
And I think the congregation should be able to see one dead center right in front of them. On the pyramids, on the pulpit, on the ends of the table. Right? Now, I am not going to manage to explain the Trinity. This is one of those things that we call a mystery of the faith. And we struggle with it and we try to understand it, but we don't always, but somehow it works. And it's kind of like we don't always understand how our car works, but we accept that it works.
And then all of a sudden it doesn't.
Sometimes all of a sudden it doesn't and we have to figure something else out. One of the challenges, though, is that the Bible only mentions the Trinity explicitly once, and it doesn't use the word Trinity.
Where did we get the word Trinity?
Well, it's just Greek. It means three. It's easy. That's the easy question. I can answer that question about the Trinity. So the challenge is to hear all of the ways in which we talk about the three persons of the Trinity in Scripture and in our song. So the first song we sung today actually talks about the Holy Spirit differently from how we normally do. We view it as chaotic, but kind of passive behind the scenes. That hymn refers to it as the Spirit of power. Now, connect that with what we talked about at Pentecost. And it doesn't sound quite so passive anymore, does it? So what I'd like to ask you to do today and in our worship over the summer is listen for the ways that we describe things in our hymns and in our worship, particularly the Trinity, and see what it tells you. You pray with me? God, you are three in one and one in three, and to be honest, we're not exactly sure how that works. But there's so many things you do that we're not sure how it happens. You heal us, and you love us, and you bless us, and you made us. And to be honest, we don't exactly understand how you did any of that. So hear us when we pray, and be with us, and help us to understand a little more. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Normally you'd get to sing immediately, but now you don't because we've changed things, and Kelly's going to throw things at me because we changed things. Our second lesson is also at the start of a book. It's at the beginning of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Friends, this too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, friends, I'm going to invite you to open your hymnals to number 7. And we're going to sing together, Mothering God, You Gave Me Birth. You may be seated. That last one was new, probably to most of you. If you read the footnote at the bottom, though, it's from a very old Christian source, Julian of Norwich, who lived about 1300 AD. She was a mystic and a visionary, and this comes from her notes and her diaries and the image. You can hear the Trinitarian language in it as we progress through the verses. And that contrast of mothering Christ makes you stop for a second, doesn't it? Just a second. And think, one of the great ironies of most of the Christian church is that we ordain to priesthood or worship leadership or ministry men. And then we ask them to do things that we have stereotypically defined as feminine roles. Pastors are supposed to be caring and sensitive and there for all of your emotional needs when things get rough. But we don't like to talk about women doing that stuff, like in black robes. And Julian of Norwich gives us a chance to think about how do these male figures that we've regarded in the Trinity do this thing that we consider essential and important. The hymn before comes from, the text comes from Francis of Assisi, 1225, give or take, AD. So really old Christian stuff, some of which we've recovered, some of which we haven't. These two scripture passages are also paired for a reason. Genesis 1 and John 1. Genesis 1, creation, right? It's dark, it's chaotic, nothing is happening. Political cartoonist draws, and God says, and let there be light, and there's a light bulb over God's head. Not quite how I imagine it happened, but there you go. In Genesis, it's very specific that a wind from God settled over the water. The Hebrew for that is ruach. It means literally wind or breath or spirit. So a lot of people will say that this is the first encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit settles over the waters. It calms the waters. And then creation really gets down to happening. The other text line in Genesis 1 is, God speaks and it happens, right? God says, let there be light, and there's light. Well, John's gospel says, in the beginning was the Word. That's not like Word with a lowercase w. That's Word with an uppercase. You can almost hear it. In the beginning was the Word, not the Word. The Word! And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. Theologically, we hold that the Trinity starts, makes its first on-stage dramatic appearance at the very, very beginning. It's not something new that bored theologians came up with in the 4th century because they had nothing better to do. I'll give it, bored theologians have come up with a lot of weird stuff over the years. This is not one of them. This one is in the text, it's in the narrative, and another piece of the Trinity that we don't get because most of us don't speak ancient Hebrew fluently, right? Is that the way that the ancient Hebrews used adjectives is kind of the way your 3-year-old does. More is better. So if something is holy, you say it's holy. And if it's really holy, it's not very holy. It's holy, holy. And if it is the most holiest thing ever, it is holy, holy, holy. And yes, you'll get to sing that later on today. I'm only saying that a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Think back to the temple. Where does God live in the temple? What's the name of the room? Holy of Holies. And who lives in the Holy of Holies? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Okay, so it shows up all over the place. One of the pieces of Trinitarian stuff that we don't generally talk about is that this is a uniquely Jewish way of describing God. It is God, God, God. It is most God and perfect God. This is the only God. Judaism is the first to make that unique claim. So when we talk about the Trinity, I promise, it's not just bored theologians in the fourth century. It is deeply entrenched from creation to how we tell the story of Jesus Christ coming into the world to how we are sent out. And that's where we're going to go next. Because I mentioned to you that there is one whole place that is explicitly Trinitarian. It is the very end of Matthew's gospel. I hope this passage is familiar. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
My hunch is Tim recognized that as the Navy SIM. For some reason, people who sail on small boats and big boats know that one very well. You heard a Trinitarian rhythm to it, right? Four verses? Father, Christ, Spirit, Trinity. One of our common heresies. We're really good at heresies, just for the record. We're really good at heresies. Is that we divvy up the work of the Trinity. God the Father only does this stuff. Jesus only does this stuff. The Spirit only does this stuff. They've divided their labor. Nobody steps on each other's territory. Here's the secret. When we're desperate, we don't care which part of God shows up. So this hymn, while it's titled Eternal Father, Strong to Save, says, I will take a lifesaver from anyone. Oh God, show up. Spirit, show up. Christ, show up. God, show up. All three ring circuits that is you, God, show up. It's easier sometimes because we like to compartmentalize if we can just break it down. But that gets back to this passage in Matthew. It gets back to a passage in other places as well about baptism, but that we baptize very specifically, not in the name of generic God. We baptize very specifically, if you will, in the brand name of God, the Christ, and the Spirit. First, second, and third person. We brand name baptize in the name of the Trinity. All of it. And we need that. That language will carry us through so many other things. When we give the benediction in worship, it's always Trinitarian. Have you caught that? When we breathe in the choir room beforehand, there's always three breaths. Whenever Granger does anything, there's always three. And on that anthem, it took the choir three verses prepping beforehand to really hit their stride. So there's something to this stuff. It's also buried. It's just in there. And we don't talk about it. One of the challenges of Trinity Sunday and of worship in general is talking about the things we all assume. Because we learned it somewhere, somehow, at some time, or grandma told me, and so it must be true. And unpacking that. We have, particularly in John's gospel, a number of images and metaphors that we use about Jesus. Good shepherd, vine, cup, great physician. Usually when we pray, we have something very specific in mind. Sometimes it's that grandiose, help! Anybody, anywhere, anytime. And other times, we're very precise. I'd like the winning lottery numbers for this Friday night's drawing. Like prayer for a friend, a family member, for myself, about a job or about health or about family or about community. Sometimes we're very specific. One of the things the Trinity gives us is a number of ways to latch on to God. In stereotype fashion, we often view God the Father, first person of the Trinity, as that Old Testament God, you know, the one who's mean and nasty, who smites people, right? I have a great t-shirt at one point of a Far Side cartoon that had God at his computer, and his keyboard had a smite button on it. And his finger was just poised over it with this piano about to drop on this guy's head. Right? I mean, I'm not sure how I pray to that guy for help. Jesus, on the other hand, is soft and cuddly and wonderful, particularly if we can forget when he cleanses the temple with a bullwhip. right? Jesus is nice and soft and cuddly. So when I just need some reassurance, I can go to Jesus, right? Because Jesus is never going to tell me to get my stuff in gear and get my life in shape. And then there's the Spirit. And oh, thank God we're Presbyterian because we don't have to talk about that, right? Right? Gifts of the Spirit. Pentecost experiences. Little nudges and swift kicks. Right?